Hello.
Quiet, numbskulls. I'm broadcasting.
It's me again. This is Dan Sheridan. Oh, yes. You ever seen the movie Snakes on a Plane? There's a new one now called Creatures on a Plane. Yep, God does choose the stupidity of the world to confound the wise. Another day and another dollar. That's what it is today, and thank you. Again, this is Dan Sheridan, and I was on a plane just the other day on my way to New Orleans, however you pronounce it. My apologies to those who are in the South. We got a lot of listeners in the South, and we're glad to have you on here. And but anyways, I was on a plane to New Orleans, and I got on the plane, and I'm sitting down, and behind me, I hear a conversation going on. It's one of those planes where you have three seats in a row, in two rows, so three on the left, three on the right. And, of course, nobody wants to sit on the middle seat in those flights. It can be a drag sitting on those in those middle seats. But anyway, sometimes I viewed it as an opportunity. It's sometimes a good place to pull out some good literature to read, and hopefully somebody will ask you a question. You can talk about God. However, I was sitting there on the plane, and I hear two people talking, and then I hear the man in the middle row say, would you guys like to sit and continue your conversation? Well, they said, yes, yes. So the middleman gave up his seat. I don't know if it was a kindness or a chance to get out of the middle of the seat or just an abhorrence for what was being spoken of, or all three, I don't know. So this man gives up his seat and moves to the middle, to the aisle row, and these two now are sitting together. And what I was listening to, the man who was initially on the end was talking to the man in the window seat, who was a younger fella. I think he was in college, from what I gather. And the man who moved to the middle row to continue the conversation, I believe, was a Baptist, Southern Baptist minister. And I was listening to this conversation, and I have to be honest with you, as I sat there the whole flight, I almost used the barf bag. I have a great dislike for religious folks' belief about God. Let me put it that way. I love all people. I really do. I care for everyone. It's the teaching that drives me up a wall sometimes. But I was listening to them talk, and I noticed a young man was asking questions, and it was centered around the historical Jesus and history. And I was listening to this Baptist preacher, hoping that he would set this young man right and point him to the cross of Calvary, to justification, and so on and so forth. And lo and behold, what did I hear? I heard the following. This historian, now I'm quoting this Baptist pastor, this historian said this, this scholar said this, this church father said this, and this historian, and this church historian, and this scholar, and this church father, and this pastor said this. And I wanted to turn around and say, who the hell cares? Now, for those of you who were just taken back by what I said, I admit that may have been my carnal nature rising up in me, but I could not bear listening to this crazy conversation. And then he went on to talk about Josephus said this, and Revelation, the book of Revelation, really isn't a futuristic book. It's not about future events, but it's all about something that happened in the first century, because this church father says this, and this church father says that. Well, the reason why I bring this up is we're living in a day and age in which the modern church as a whole is living out the apostasy. Now, nobody there, I know that you're all driving and you think, no, your church couldn't be apostate. It couldn't possibly happen to you, but I would venture to guess that more than likely you are part of an apostasy. I'm not saying that you yourself are a bad person or anything like that, but we have to get to a point in the Bible where we start applying the Bible to ourselves. All these people talk about practical application. Why don't you start applying the bad stuff to you? You're always looking at how to make your life better. Why don't you use the Bible to point out the errors that you're walking in? I never judge anyone by the size of the building or how many people they have in their congregation, although that's probably a good indicator. I always judge by the teaching that comes from these places. We are to judge by teaching, not by practice. The Lord Jesus said, you'll know them by their fruits, but that's referring to false prophets, and he's speaking to Jewish disciples regarding Jewish things. Paul warns us to go move away from those who teach doctrines that are contrary to what Paul taught us. And so there's the difference. Well, as I was listening to this preacher, and I think you heard at the beginning of the program, I mentioned the movie Snakes on a Plane. I felt like that I was hearing the hiss of the serpent with the preacher on the plane and inflicting their venom on this poor young man. And the long and short of it, when this young man was done listening to him, he was worshiping scholarship. He was worshiping a man's PhD, not the living Christ of the Bible and the living God whom the living Christ is the image of. And let me just say this regarding church fathers and history. Martin Luther said it best. He said the church fathers are should be called the church babies. And I'm going to read to you from 2 Timothy chapter 1. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, the Apostle Paul is speaking here, and he's speaking regarding his own ministry and the message that he taught. Now, this is what he says in 2 Timothy 1, verse 15. Of this you are aware, that all those in the province of Asia were turned from me, of whom are Phygellus and Hermogenes. And I want you to notice what that says. All those, he says, I want you to be aware of something. There needs to be an awareness that all those in the province of Asia were turned from me. Now, he says it personally, but when you turned away from Paul, it also meant that you turned away from his message. The Lord's message and the Lord's messenger go hand in hand in this case. You and I can't make this claim because no one listening to my voice is an apostle like Paul was, and those who claim to are not being accurate. Paul is the apostle of the Gentiles. So it says here, they turned away from me, and that's referring to Paul himself. They turned away from the apostle Paul and his message. Now, that was in his own day. What do you think happened after Paul left the scene? Well, Acts 20, the apostle Paul reminds us of what was going to take place after he left the scene. And by the way, if you hear the dog in the background, we don't edit here. That dog's probably barking at another preacher walking by my house. Anyway, he says here in Acts chapter 20, Paul says that after he was going to leave them, that there were going to be grievous wolves who are going to come in, not sparing the flock. And that's found in Acts 20. So in Paul's own day, while he was still alive, people were turning away from Paul and the truth that he taught. So when somebody tells you to go back to the church fathers, now I have the writings of the church fathers on my shelf, and if the church fathers tell us anything, they tell us exactly what the apostle Paul did not teach. The church fathers are a corruption of what Paul taught, and it goes down through the centuries. And think about this, and I'm going to say something what's probably a radical statement here, but one of the most famous sermons that Christianity praises today is the great message of Jonathan Edwards on Sinners of the Hands of the Angry God. And I'm going to say something that may sound strange to you. Jonathan Edwards' sermon is not an example of apostolic teaching or Pauline teaching. Edwards' sermon is a perfect example of pagan teaching. Jonathan Edwards, here's how I know. You say, how can you say that, Dan? Well, here's how you can do it. Compare what Paul taught. Listen to Paul. Go to the book of Acts and listen to Paul and read his letters and see if Paul ever talked like Jonathan Edwards or Jonathan Edwards ever talked like Paul. And then you'll see the difference. Paul never used the language that Jonathan Edwards does. So we got to stop lauding men, stop applauding men and worshiping men and compare what they say with the scriptures, no matter who they are and what degrees they got. Another instance, I remember a situation, and before I get into that situation, I want to read you something from John. In the Gospel of John, this is John chapter 7, verse 45. The deputies, then, came to the chief priests and Pharisees, and they said to them, wherefore did you not lead him here? Now, this is a situation the Pharisees had sent these deputies to arrest the Lord Jesus. Now the deputies answered, never speaks a man thus. The Pharisees then answered them, not you also are deceived. Are you guys deceived too? Not any of the chiefs believes in him or the Pharisees. But this throng that knows not the law is accursed. I want you to pay attention to what was just said. The Pharisees said, "You're deceived also? You shouldn't be deceived because the chiefs and the Pharisees don't believe in him. And if they don't believe in him, neither should you." And that's the attitude of many of our PhDs today. Unless you follow the teachings of the seminaries and the recognized scholars, you're in error. You didn't follow their doctrinal statement. Well, friends, that's no measure of truth, is what your pastor says. In John's Gospel, chapter 9, it says this: "These things," and this is referring to the situation where the man who was born blind, and the Jews, it says, had already agreed that if anyone should ever be avowing him to be Christ, that is referring to our Lord Jesus, he should be put out of the synagogue. In other words, the Jews had already made a claim that, listen, anyone who confesses that this Jesus is the Christ, he's out of the synagogue. And it didn't matter what evidence you produced to them. And this is very much like the modern pastor today and the modern preachers. They're snakes on a plane, friends. They're just like this man on the plane here who didn't offer a crucified Christ to this man, but he offered scholarship. And they're more interested in their own position than they are the truth of God. Now, we always look for apostasy everywhere but in our own places. We need to look for it amongst ourselves, friends, in our churches. And so notice what they said here. He says they've already agreed. There was a friend of mine. He was a pastor down in St. Louis, and he had a meeting with a bunch of brethren up in Wisconsin, and they were all pastors, and they wanted to, they basically had a lynch mob because this man was teaching something that wasn't orthodox, so-called. And one of the pastors, and I put that in quotes, said to this man, he said, "Well, sir, what you're teaching is not right. The pastors are with us. They don't believe that." Well, that's what the Pharisees said. That's the attitude today. And another pastor had a letter written before the meeting saying, if anyone follows this teaching or does not condemn this man, we're going to back out. We're not going to have anything to do with him. In other words, they said, just like the Pharisees, we're going to agree to condemn this man. We don't care what proof. We don't care what scriptures he shows us. We have a doctrinal statement, and we're going to follow that doctrinal statement no matter what. Well, what is my point in everything I'm saying here? I know it may be a harsh one, but sometimes we have to hit hard to point out the fact that we should never believe anyone but the scriptures. We test everything a man says by what the scriptures say, and God would not have us forever in ignorance. He would like us to come into the realization of the truth, and the only place we find the truth is in the written words of the living God. Well, that's all I have to say for today. If you have any questions, please go to our website, and that is crossandthrone.com. Again, crossandthrone.com. And our phone number, 847-201-1060, 847-201-1060. Go to our website and get the greatest Bible translation on planet Earth, the Concordant Literal New Testament. Get a copy of this, and also get the Concordant Commentary in the New Testament. These two items will give you more truth than if you spent a lifetime in a seminary. Trust me on this. You need to get copies of those. I think that's about it for today. I have to run. You guys have a great day. And remember this very important thing. Believe in God no matter what the clergy tell you. You search the scriptures and test everything you believe, you hear by that.